Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can always stay up to date with everything happening here at the station. Download the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen, stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day to you. Nothing can just be normal, right?
We
can never just have a normal day.
We can't just talk about the finals on national television. We gotta hit that low-hanging fruit, maybe remind people that... or try to distract people from the fact that we were playing solitaire during the middle of an NBA Finals game. So we've got that on the docket. Let's welcome our guest. He, of course, is our company on Tuesdays and Fridays. He's the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast, College Basketball Betting Podcast, VSiN's Betting Tailgate Show, Saturdays, 9 a.m. Central Time. Check your local listings. You can also see him on VSiN Primetime, airing on weeknights on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I decided to jump on your program however many years ago. Why do you guys always seem to be in the news?
So there's a couple of things here.
Did you made it into work today fine though today, right?
I did make it into work, but we still yet again, like, I swear to God, it's never going to stop raining here. Like,
is that what Stephen A was talking about? Oh, he's got Jim Cantore on us. He knows that it's just a little too wet.
Yeah, so
for people.
He's not talking about raining lead.
There's a couple of things. Number one, easy target to act as if that crime is not an issue in the city would be wrong. To act as if money in the city would not be an issue would be wrong. But I miss the part where free agents left and right are signing with Indiana. I miss the part where they're signing with Dallas. I miss the part where they're signing with Denver. Denver's a beautiful city. Oh, man, where's all the guys signing there? Where are all the guys signing in Charlotte? By the way, where are the guys signing in Miami in the last 10 years? Like, the free agents go to three places. Like, if you want to make a point and say Memphis is not a glamorous spot for free agents, I think that's true. I think it has less to do with the crime rate and more to do with we're not as happening of a city. It's not as big of a destination. But I'm telling you, Tim, I'm saying this from experience. The place that I have felt the least safe in the last 2 years was downtown San Francisco. That does not seem to stop the Warriors from signing people.
Didn't our buddy Gabe just point out that there's a certain San Francisco 49er who in the last 12 months got shot in downtown San Fran.
Correct. A first rounder. And then, by the way, still played that year.
Dog.
Absolutely. Shot in the chest.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it happened in my old neck of the woods.
I need to admit, I have PTSD still of receivers getting shot.
I'm sorry to bring like, it up. Yeah, that just
the Giants sorry. Were gonna win back to back. Eli was gonna win MVP of the league. They're 11-1. And Plexico Burris goes and shoots himself in the leg, and they completely fall apart. So I am still sensitive to the topic.
My bad. Sorry. It's just, it's okay. I don't know, man.
This is what I actually want to talk about, because I think it actually is relevant. Because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I am not someone that scours the internet looking for what Stephen A. said and can't wait to either debate without him there, pounce, point out. I think a lot of the people that spend their days doing that, they do not realize, like, that is why Stephen A. is who he is. Like, I acknowledge him for what he is. I think he is a tremendously hardworking guy. I do not enjoy his style of delivery, not necessarily delivery, because I actually think he's great. I actually like his delivery. I don't like his approach. With that said, you cannot deny it has worked for him spectacularly. With that said, I also recognize it's a game. But I do think what is actually happening, and this is something I am a little bit more interested in, I think we are going through this weird period of the people that have been writing and talking about the NBA do not know what to do with this era. And here would be my thesis. Forever, this was one of the most predictable leagues you could possibly have. You looked at the rosters, and more times than not, Vegas would nail, what, 5 of the 8 playoff teams usually? And very rarely would they get the finalist wrong. Happens, but there was usually some context involved, but usually the teams that were the good teams coming into the season were the teams that rolled through. We'll see in the playoffs. But now we have entered into this era where the quote unquote superstar team, like, that ain't getting it done. Like, you're starting to see it's the quality of depth. You have to build a better roster than just, let's just go stockpile some stars and we're good. And so now there's this weird reality of, I guess I can understand how you got caught off guard that Indiana wound up in the finals. I think it dismisses the basketball that they had played since Halliburton's return from injury and since January 1. But coming into the season, coming into the playoffs, myself included, I was going to be surprised if Boston or Cleveland didn't win the East. So I can get being caught off guard by Indiana. How the hell do you get caught off guard by the Thunder? They were the projected favorite to win the West from the moment they got Hartenstein. They were the best team in the league all year. They have a historic point differential. But I think because everyone that has covered this business for so long, it's been so star driven, they don't really know what to do. And I do find it humorous on a day right after a finals game in which Stephen A. Smith attended, the topic of discussion is, should the Memphis Grizzlies trade Ja Morant?
Because I'll be honest, man, and to what you said about Stephen A. Smith, it's funny because I actually played a clip this morning on the morning show I do in Milwaukee,
yeah.
The Jay Williams evisceration of Stephen A. Smith because of his moronic take that Giannis, if he doesn't win another title in Milwaukee, would be a disappointment.
This is
what he does. And to your point, when you grab the bait, and I have refused to grab the Bayless bait. It is too easy. Stephen A. is a little bit different because he fancies himself as a journalist. He was one, right? He was
absolutely.
He was a columnist in Philadelphia, right?
And a reporter before that.
And that's what I think I don't want to speak for everyone, because when he takes shots at your city, it becomes personal. And I totally understand anyone who lives in Memphis, who played in Memphis, who is very upset about this. Today, it makes a ton of sense. And you're trying to demean a franchise in a city when, to your point, the two teams playing in the championship are not destination cities. If you look at the roster construction of the Oklahoma City Thunder, SGA, they traded for. Jalen Williams, they drafted. Chet Holmgren, they drafted. Isaiah Hartenstein, fine. Their starting center who plays, what, 25 minutes?
And go back to free agency, they just gave him a dump truck full of cash because they've drafted well and because they had multiple starters on rookie deals, they were able to outspend the market to get Hartenstein because they had a rebounding problem, and he solved that problem during the regular season.
Alex Caruso, they traded for.
Yes.
Indiana, traded for Pascal Siakam, traded for Tyrese Halliburton, drafted Miles Turner, drafted Benedict Mathurin, traded for Aaron Nesmith. Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing, you know, to bring back our good friend Taylor Twellman here for a second straight show? So I put all that to the side there. To your second point, let's be honest, man. People like Stephen A. Smith, they don't want to break down the game X's and O's wise. And I don't know about you, that's what I like to consume. Van Pelt's post-game show is, to me, phenomenal, because we get Tim Legler on there breaking it down from an X and O style.
Like within seconds of the horn sounding.
Those are the people that Van Pelt wants on his show. And if you look at who he brings on from a football standpoint, Ryan Clark always comes on Mondays. What do? They break the game down. That's what he wants. This is what Stephen A.
He brings
A.
Tim,
wants.
Tim Hasselbeck for, you know, Saturday nights. It's with Tim Hasselbeck.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I enjoy. Now, to each their own. And to your point about Stephen A., the dude has made more money than I'll ever make, unless I hit the lotto one day.
Like, he has lost more money probably than I'll ever make.
Right. Like, he just got another job the other day, right? I understand there is a market for him, but why the day after the finals did they do this? Because right now, it looks like it's pretty much a wrap. The Oklahoma City Thunder, a team that won 68 games, is going to go down and from a point differential, from an analytical standpoint, one of the best teams that's ever played, and they don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to make that interesting, because that's not what they do. They wanted Oklahoma City probably to lose last night so they could talk about, well, what a disaster this has been. How big of a debacle would this be? If this is what they have to do. They much more want to live in the fantasy land of free agents and in all of that than actually break down the game. And that's what leads to this dumbass take this morning.
Well, I think, though, this would be my lesson is, and you can kind of get the sense that, again, this is projecting a little bit, but, you know, I'm sure Stephen A. is not super pumped to go to Indianapolis and Oklahoma City for the finals. And
what was it? Was it five? Was it the year? I think it was the year Milwaukee was in the finals, and he was
Milwaukee
like,
Phoenix.
I don't want to go to Milwaukee. And I'm like, dude, Milwaukee's actually a pretty dope,
especially
city.
During the summer. Criminally underrated,
incredibly underrated. And look, I worked there.
No, I had no ties to Milwaukee. We went up there one summer and then did a golf trip, and I was like, this place is great.
Here's what I'll tell you about every NBA city, especially in the summer. I bet you could find some pretty cool stuff in every single NBA city. My sister lives in Indianapolis. I love visiting her. She lives in the city limits, a little bit outside the downtown part, but it's great. You could walk to restaurants. You could walk to bars. The neighborhoods are amazing. You can go hiking. You could do all that fun stuff. Like, I bet you could find, I've been to Oklahoma City twice. Now, last year, I was just driving through on my excursion back home across the country, so it wasn't like I was really checking out the hotspots in OKC. But I've gone to the Bricktown area from what I remember, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Thought it was pretty cool.
Topmeyer and I have had this point. If you can't enjoy yourself in most cities in if you're there for 48 hours, you're probably an a-hole. Like, we fundamentally agree.
How many people complain that go to the Combine? Those people go to the Combine every year for, like, a week. And they're like, oh, it's great. We get to hang out. We get to go to St. Elmo's. We get to go to this restaurant. And you're not... And to your point, man, when we had the long break, which was, what, game one Thursday, game two Sunday, I bet you, I would bet you almost every dollar in my bank account, Stephen A. Smith went home.
Oh,
private aviation, and I'm sure that...
Yeah, no, I think he flew home after the... Because he was doing... I think he was back in New York for First Take.
Yeah.
I think he flew him that night.
Dude, you were there for like 8 hours.
Yeah, I think, though, this is actually, though, the bigger picture thing that interests me more. I think what I would tell everyone that's covering the NBA and has covered the NBA, I would say get used to this. Because I think a couple of things are happening. We could tie it into what the Grizzlies just did. As long as this iteration of the CBA exists, and I gotta think owners are pretty happy with it, and I would imagine that the next CBA will look similar to this, you're not going to be a poorly run franchise and just get out of jail. You're not going to be able to just do it by, we're just going to sign some guys, we'll be okay, we're going to figure it out. Because now what everyone is having to do is they're having to consider the money. And I've been harping on this for, I feel like, 3 or 4 months. The biggest change that I have seen in the last 3 years of the NBA is we are officially out of the just get three dudes, pay him a bunch of money, and then fill it in.
Yeah.
Because look at Indiana, look at Oklahoma City, and Oklahoma City has the advantage that they've got a couple of starters that are on rookie deals. But what everybody, if you look at the teams that are really struggling in this era, you can usually go and find they have three guys that are paid $40 million or more, and they don't have the depth. And so what the Grizzlies ended up deciding, and this is where I also get frustrated with, as soon as Desmond Bane gets traded on Sunday, the immediate reaction is, see, everyone at All-Star Break was right. The Grizzlies are blowing it up. Trade Ja next. No, the Grizzlies had to grit their teeth and make a tough call. But what I think they clearly realized was, if we're going to have three guys that are going to be paid $40-plus million, which is where they're headed, because Jaren's going to get... I think part of this was done so that they can extend Jaren and re-sign him on a new deal. They were going to have three players at the $40-plus million mark, and they have struggled by backfilling with youth and draft picks, and it's the same thing that we're seeing with Denver. Denver, in the end, it cost the coach and the GM their jobs because they had three guys, one of which was a mistake to pay, but at the same time, he happened to be a free agent in Porter the year after they win the title, so he's getting his money. It sucks, but that's what's killing them. But they have the same problem. So then they've tried to build the rest of the roster cheaply through either minimum contracts or young guys. And it's just tough to win with a bunch of young guys. And what I would tell these guys is that I think you need to get ready for it, because the teams that are going to be the best run are going to be the teams that have the most success. And typically the teams that are in the glamour markets are not the best run, with the exception obviously being of Pat Riley.
And to your point, how are things going down in Miami right now?
Not great.
No, and I'm not saying that you're wrong.
No,
Pat Riley is an elite executive and is a Hall of Fame executive in addition to a Hall of Fame coach. But right now, it's a challenge for them because they thought they were going to get Dame Lillard. Maybe that was a blessing in disguise, but that fell through. Jimmy Butler didn't want to be there anymore. And now you're looking at a roster that... You know, it's going to be interesting. So many.
Well, I think let's take that point, because I think this is also another thing that I would also add to my case. The day and age in which superstar can force himself to one particular destination, it's not really holding up. San Francisco, where the Warriors were not Jimmy Butler's original destination, but when they find like when it became clear they were going to at least give him somewhat of a new deal, he opens it up. But Dame wanted to go to Miami. Doesn't go to Miami. You know, we're seeing all these guys that have had, like, I'll be curious to see, does Durant get his way?
Yeah, I mean, I think Durant is going to be pretty interesting here.
Now, I'll also give Durant credit. I think his three cities are San Antonio, Houston, and Miami, correct?
That's the report, and then there was a report that Miami wasn't interested.
Okay, but I will give him credit. At least with San Antonio and with Houston, you are at least putting destinations on the list that can actually give a fair deal back to the Suns.
Yeah, I mean, I think San Antonio is a team that, you know, was one that could potentially have made a deal, and I don't think Giannis is going to get traded this offseason, but when that was another one where everyone is immediately fixated on, well, he has to go. It's like, well, he never asked to leave, and if Giannis doesn't want to leave Milwaukee, they're not going to trade him. But yeah, I think Kevin Durant to San Antonio, if you're Phoenix, you're like, great. We can get the 14th pick. We're not going to get the second. We can get the 14th pick. They've got some youth.
Maybe we get Castle. Probably
not going to get Castle, but maybe we somehow get Castle. But think about it from this standpoint. Like, San Antonio, who is another not glamorous city in the eyes of some. I've been to San Antonio. Had a great time in San Antonio. But they have the potential here. If this Kevin Durant thing happens, where you've got Wemby, you've got De'Aaron Fox, you've got Dylan Harper, more than likely, you've got Kevin Durant, and you've got Stephon Castle. Wow. I mean, they have the makings. And, you know, you could get into a whole nother discussion of did they deserve to get the number two pick? Probably not, but they did.
We weren't super happy here. But, I mean, I think also to your previous point about Giannis and that if he gets one title, it's a disaster, I also think this is true. I think we have to start recalibrating what a title is going to mean, because I'm just more convinced that this is more reflective of the NFL than it ever has been before in the NBA. And the idea that you're just going to be able to rack and stack championships, listen, we'll see with Oklahoma City. They're going to be able to run it back next year, pretty much the exact same for the most part, and they're going to have as good of a chance as anyone. But it also means they're going to have to get to the playoffs, have another good year of injury luck in the playoffs. And what we've also seen is teams that oftentimes make these deep runs, it starts to take a toll on them. And that's the other thing with Oklahoma City. They're going to be able to do it again next year. But after that, then they're going to have to start paying more guys. And then you're going to have to start making decisions. And to me, it's just, I think, like, we think of one title guy used to be a pejorative. Tim, wouldn't you say it's entirely within the realm of possibility? Would you and I bet on it? Maybe not. But it's in the entire realm of possibility that Giannis Antetokounmpo and Nikola Jokic wind up with one title each.
I mean, you wouldn't have said it in the moment, but now as things have gone on, you're like, yeah, it's certainly possible.
They've had problems because both guys are making $60 million. They've had problems building around them. And I'm not saying that, like, oh, these are crappy franchises. What I am saying is it becomes harder when you have to start paying these guys this astronomical amount of money.
Well, and, you know, look at Oklahoma City. They've been able to hit on the 12th overall pick in Jalen Williams, and he's a borderline superstar, however you want to define him, right?
He just got 40 in a finals game.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's a whole other stupid conversation of who's a superstar, who's not a superstar. All I know is Jalen Williams is bleeping good. Like, that dude is a baller, and he would be the best player on, what, 20 other NBA teams, maybe even more? Like, he's an absolute stud, but he's got SGA on his roster,
I always struggle on best player, because that's the other thing. He's had an up-and-down playoffs. When he's good, he's awesome. It's like last night. He's spectacular. But he also has nights where you're like, did he play?
Well, that's why, and, you know, I live in the gambling Twitter world, and it drives me nuts because I saw some dude out there be like, I told you, should have taken Jalen Williams 40-1 like I did to win NBA Finals MVP. I'm like, SGA scored 30 in all but one game. SGA's winning NBA Finals MVP. He had 15 in a come-from-behind win on the road in Game 4, and he also dropped 30 last night. Like, Jalen Williams was amazing, but we do this thing where we immediately, what just happened? Oh, look at that over there. Like, Jalen Williams was amazing last night. I don't want to take anything away from him. Dropped 40, like you said. SGA was pretty darn good too. But to the point of Oklahoma City, and what my bigger point was going to be is, all right, look at the roster construction over there in Denver, right? They had to get rid of KCP. They had to trade...
New Grizzly, by the way.
Who was the guy...
Bruce Brown.
Yeah, Bruce Brown. Who was like... I don't want to... He was like the Alex Caruso
yes,
of the...
I was about to say, it's the same type thing.
And they were able to get him on a bargain deal, and guess what happens?
He got paid.
When you play exceptionally well in the NBA Finals, shocking, you're going to be highly sought after, and the team you play for can't pay you anymore. And whether it was right or wrong, I tend to think it was wrong, but you think back to the Lakers bubble championship. They let Alex Caruso walk, and he got a big payday from the Chicago Bulls. They could have kept him, and they should have kept him, but they let him walk. And now your margin becomes thinner. The moves that the Milwaukee Bucks have tried to make, you know, drafting very poorly in the later half of the first round, right? The story came out that they really liked Andrew Nembhard out of Gonzaga. They worked him out a bunch. But guess what happened? They decided to draft Marshawn Beauchamp or whatever it was, and that has not worked out well. You know, the Nuggets decided to trade up to get, like, veteran college players, right? They got that kid from Penn State whose name is escaping me. They expected him to be a contributor. Hasn't worked out. So now the margins become really small, and you've got to hit on some of these pieces to make your depth bigger, and it's a challenge.
Well, and also, when you're the teams like Milwaukee and Denver, to your point, your margins are smaller because if you miss, it's really tough to recover. Like, Presti, if you go through it, not all these draft picks he's had are hits, but
where he just hasn't had a billion of them.
Where
right?
I give him, well, he's also, because they had so many picks, they've had the opportunity of, they don't need all of them to hit.
Right.
They need Jalen Williams to hit.
And they can go to a bench. I mean, look at Aaron Wiggins, for example. He was MIA in the two games in Indianapolis. He had combined 1 point. But in game two, he went for, what, 21, I think it was? And then last night, he hit a bunch of big threes. Like, they just are able to kind of, like, throw a guy out there and be like, all right, he's not hitting tonight. Let's yank him.
No, right? Aaron Wiggins was the guy that I told George. I think it was the third time the Grizzlies played the Thunder. And Wiggins, because they had some guys that were out, he, like, had an expanded role.
Yeah,
and
I think he ended up starting that game.
Yeah, I told George, I was like, I think he'd be the fourth best player on the Grizzlies.
55th overall pick in 2021.
Yeah, and like he's like the ninth or tenth guy on their team.
I mean, they've got Isaiah Joe, and like every once in a while you'll see Isaiah Joe go out there. He was a second-round pick by the Sixers, I think. You know, so it's like, you know, they just got these dudes, and they've got lottery players that in Cason Wallace had been playing poor, comes off the bench last night, very good last. I mean, it's Sam Presti really did an amazing job. And you have to get lucky too, man.
Yes.
Like, let's be real. Like, they were fortunate, if I remember correctly, to have the number two overall pick when they selected Chet Holmgren, right?
Yes.
Like, they picked Jalen Williams from Santa Clara with the 12th overall pick, and now he's a budding superstar in the league. Like, SGA was a lottery pick, obviously, by the Clippers, or I think he was drafted by the Hornets and then traded draft night, if I remember correctly. And he was a part of a blockbuster deal, and it has paid out exponentially well. So, you know, credit to them. Oh, by the way, they do have a lottery pick sitting on the bench who had a torn ACL a year ago.
Well, and I'm so happy for them because I apparently the franchise is very high on him.
Well, he was supposed to be like a top five pick, and then he tore his ACL, so everyone let him drop, and Thunder were like, all right, sure, why not?
Well, yeah, we can stash him. I don't know. I mean, this is just kind of where I
think your overall point is accurate. I think we're in a new era of the
NBA.
And
I don't think it's changing because I think the owners like this.
Because think about the Boston Celtics, for example.
Yep.
The Boston Celtics won the championship last year pretty easily. Just kind of ran through everything. Had some, you know, injury luck on the other side.
Were they 16-3? It was either like 16-2 or 16-3.
Yeah, whatever it was, it was easy.
I think they lost one game against the Heat. Their second round series, was it the Knicks?
No, I don't think it was the Knicks.
Maybe it was the Cavs. Yeah, it was Cavs because the Cavs played that gross 4-5 against the Magic. And remember, you and I were joking, has a 7-game series ever been played exclusively on NBA TV? Because we were wondering, like, I think actually one game was on ABC and it was just like so gross to watch. And you're, I think they beat the Cavs in 5.
They swept the Pacers. But it was competitive.
Those games were close. And then I think they beat the Mavs in 5. I'm doing that from memory.
Yep, that's, and you're right. You nailed it. 16-3 last year, and it looked like they were gonna win the Eastern Conference with ease again this year. And even before the Jason Tatum injury, they were gonna lose that series to the Knicks. Guess what? And then Jason Tatum pops his Achilles, and now he's done for the year. And now you've got new ownership in Boston. You're way, 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 way over the tax, so your bill's going to be high. And you've got a new co-owner coming in and be like, why are we paying this bill?
By the way, a new owner that just had to stroke I think it was $6 billion. And I think you have to, you yourself have to stroke half of it. So we just had to pay $3 million cash, wire transfer somehow. I don't know. At the minimum.
And I'm not saying the Celtics are going to be dead and buried.
No, but I think most people believe the Celtics.
Well, because the other thing is, that's why the Magic made this trade.
Well, like the other owner, the previous owner, the father and son, it was fans owning the team. And they didn't care that it was super expensive. They said, screw it, we're going. Now, I would imagine when you get new ownership, more times than not, they try to, all right, let's get this between the mustard and the mayo here.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. That was a
would you rather before we take a break, because I got a fun thing I want to do next segment with you, college football wise. Would you rather take the NHL game to go to 7? Or the NBA Finals to go to 7?
Am I predicting this, or what would I prefer?
Would you rather? You got to pick.
Man.
Which would you rather have? You're going to stake your claim on this series is going 7. The idea is only one's going 7. Which one would you rather bet on?
I'd probably say hockey.
I was thinking the same thing, despite the fact that the Oilers are on the road.
But the Maple Leafs went down there on the road and won
in a similar fashion,
2-0, right? After they got blown out on their home ice, everyone's laughing, ha, the Maple Leafs again, and they went down, they won. And then you get the Tyrese Halliburton news from Shams just a little while ago. Halliburton is believed to have suffered a right calf strain and will undergo an MRI to determine the severity of the strain. Sources tell ESPN, and the point spread is now moving on its way up.
I think that was the other reason why I think I would also rather bet on the Oilers, because also I kind of think it's a weird spot for the Panthers where they're openly talking about, we do not want to get on the plane, which, by the way, would you rather win it at home in front of your fans or get on a plane and go to Edmonton for a game 7 in what is considered one of the great hockey home crowd advantages? Yeah, I'd much rather win it at home. But I also think sometimes you start pressing, like, we better not get on the plane.
Yeah.
But I still think
Oilers kind of helping them out. They put Skinner back in.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess the other thing, though, for me last night, I told George this off the air. I understand there was a lot of conversation about go to McCollum because Halliburton was clearly hobbled.
McConnell,
sorry. Very different players. But you also saw when he started going up in the fourth quarter against the starting defense for the Thunder, he couldn't hang on to the ball either. And I think what it really shows is that even when Halliburton is not like making a ton of shots, he is still driving that engine of the offense.
I do think you had to put him back in earlier, though.
When it was clear
that Halliburton just wasn't having it, like at the 9 or 8 minute mark, you got to put him in.
Yeah, I also can see, though, where Carlisle's thinking, all right, we've already cut it to 2. I know it's back to 9, but we've been here before.
Look, the Cockroaches did what the Cockroaches always do, which was like, really? This is going to happen? They cut it to, what, 3?
I mean, George said it was being they cut it to 2. It was also going to be an all-time sweatbox city at the end, because I think it was, what, 9.5, 10? I can't remember what it closed at.
9.5, and it sat at 11 for what felt like the last two and a half minutes of the game.
It felt like 90 seconds, 2 minutes, something like that, where neither team scored.
Pretty much. Or it might have been like 151.
I had Halliburton under assists last night.
I think Halliburton unders were pretty good last night.
He had two assists right out of the chute, and I'm like, oh, here we go. And then he didn't have another assist, I think, until the second half. And he had like a stretch of like back-to-back assists. He got up to six. And I'm like, really? This is the only prop? And then, fortunately for me, it just ended there.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, so I was thinking about this on the drive into to work this morning. Do we have a Saban-sized hole in the coaching community of just guys that we can trust? And so then I started thinking about, if you were assembling an index fund full of stocks, options, everything, how would you come up with your ratio? Like, what percentage would you want of each? Because then I started thinking, I was like, if Saban was Apple or he was NVIDIA, I don't know if we have one of those right now. Like, just, it's going to be in every mutual fund. You know, it's just going to keep making money, moving on. Because I know people are going to say Kirby, but I'm not quite sure we're there yet. I want to see exactly how you'd answer this. We'll do that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company. 92.9 FM. Yes.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, Tim. As we kind of get more to, I guess, what are peak talking ball season? What would you declare where we are right now?
I would say peak talking ball is probably about a week away.
So we got,
I would say July 4th is kind of, I know July 4th is more than a week away, but I'd say we're getting close to it. Once the NBA is wrapped up, NHL is wrapped up, but we'll get free agency, which is always kind of interesting too from an NBA standpoint.
I've always kind of viewed it as, all right, well, right now I saw Phil. Some people are getting their physical copies of Phil still.
Oh, I got it, baby. Can you hear it?
So you got you've got your hard copy because you had the digital copy previously, correct?
Yeah.
So now
VIP, baby. It's a write-off, Jerry.
And, I mean, it used to always be, for us in the South, your beach trip when you would go and the Athlons would start showing up.
Sure.
And like that was kind of peak of the season. But I was having this thought as I was driving in, and maybe it is kind of what you and I have discussed, and others as well, that we're maybe exiting the super team era of college football, or the super program era, the program of dominance, and we're entering into, much like the NBA, where the money's going to be more spread out, the talent's going to be more spread out, we're going to have more parity, and we're going to have something that resembles the NFL more than it used to, what you think about with college. But with, like, I was thinking about these terms, though. Even when Alabama didn't have a title team or even a title contender, they were still very much in the mix. Like, you could count on them year in, year out. And when you think about Georgia, do you think of them in the same way?
I do. I think we quickly, I don't know about you, but I feel like we've quickly tried to put to bed Georgia. They did win the SEC last year. And yes, they lost to Notre Dame in the quarterfinals, but I still think Georgia is a team that is not going away. I don't know if they're going to win the title as much as Alabama did. I mean, I think what we saw from Alabama may never be replicated in our lifetime. Like, the sheer dominance of that.
I think it's more than fair to say, if you're like, who knows what the future holds of college football. But I don't think we're getting, I think it's going to be a lot harder to go back to an era of like a handful of teams that are like predisposed to win. And I don't know if we'll ever see that again.
Because let's look at Georgia over how far we want to go back. 5 years, COVID season, before COVID, however you want to look at it. So if you go back to the COVID season, they went to, I think they beat, what, Cincinnati in the Peach Bowl or something like that. So they didn't make it to the playoff.
Yeah, that sounds right. Because Cincinnati's playoff is 2019, correct?
No, it's 21. Cincinnati lost to Alabama in the first round. Georgia won the title that year. So let's go back to 21. Georgia wins the title. They lost the SEC championship game. They dropped down to number 3. They curb stomped Michigan in the semis, and then they beat Alabama. And, you know, that was when Jamison Williams got hurt.
Yep.
And, you know, things kind of went sideways there. 2022, they win the title again. 2023, they're undefeated. They get upset by Alabama in the SEC championship game, and they get left out of the field of four.
Yep. Because they had a year, their strength of schedule, someone canceled on them, or maybe they canceled a game, and they had like 3 god-awful non-cons, and then Georgia Tech, I think that was when Key was the interim.
And Georgia Tech, I think, played them competitively, and then they absolutely obliterated Florida State, but that was the Florida State team that basically had that,
they had
on
Florida
the
State jerseys on, yeah.
Right. So, and then last year, kind of a down season, air quotes, they still beat Texas twice, a team that went to the semifinal, and they beat Tennessee by a couple of touchdowns. They lost to Ole Miss in Alabama, and then they lose in the semifinal or the quarterfinal with their backup quarterback. So, I'm not saying that Georgia is perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Like, you think back to when Ohio State won the national title with Cardale Jones, who was their third string quarterback. Like, I think it's fair to say this. It's fair to say that the super team era is potentially dying. However, I'm not ready to say that Georgia is ever going to, I don't want to say ever, but they're not going away.
I guess this would be the only question I'd have, and I can't decide if I'm being unfair, because I think it's also fair to say Kirby had a Saban problem, but not really much of else. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at,
sure,
I think in 2 of the paths, they didn't have to play Alabama and they get a title. But really, against everyone else, he's more or less owned them. But I also think this is true. I trust Kirby with a super team. I don't know if I trust Kirby when he has to do it at the margins, because I'm still not sold. Like, I almost think that winning the titles with Stetson Bennett kind of like convinced him that, listen, you can do it with, you know, dominating the line of scrimmage, ball control. Well, Stetson Bennett was an NFL quarterback. Like, I got real concerns with them going with Gunnar Stockton right now. But as my Georgia Homer friends will tell me, like, we do have better guys behind him. I just have this hang up of, like, I just can see him in the, when you think you have the best team and you probably don't have the depth, like, I'm not sure. I just don't quite trust it offensively enough.
I think that's fair. You know, they had a elite offensive coordinator for a couple of years,
yes,
too, right, with Monken, and he went to the NFL. And Mike Bobo, I would imagine most Georgia fans would probably agree with this assessment, not Monken as an offensive coordinator. So I think you're right, but I'm just not ready to say that Georgia's
okay, so the,
going
the,
away.
The reason I ask is, all right, if we're putting together our portfolio, and I've realized my portfolio might be labeled as the hater portfolio, because my portfolio's got a lot of shorts on a lot of coaches that I think have good PR teams that I'm not as sold on. But if you got to start with something, if you got to start with a NVIDIA, with an Apple, what would have been Saban for 15 years? Do you feel like there is one right now? Is it Kirby? Would you go with Dabo? Is there someone else?
I think they all have their flaws, right? So I'm going to answer your question, but I just want to run through it real quickly.
So I think the genius of Saban was, I don't think he liked playing football the way they had to the last 7 or 8 years, but he was willing to do it. I'm not as convinced that Kirby's as willing to adapt. Like when Kirby when Kirby got the first chance to go hire Mike Bobo back, he couldn't wait to do it. And when a lot of people thought the way last year ended that was going to be a problem for Bobo, nah, we're doubling down.
Well, so that kind of, your answer there kind of leads us a little bit to Dabo, where,
yeah,
Dabo was unwilling to go into the portal. Guess what he did this year? He went in a little bit. Nothing too crazy, but to put his toe in there, got an edge rusher from Purdue. That was pretty good.
Think he got an offensive lineman?
Yeah. So he's never going to get rid of his guys. Well, what did he do when TCU made their magical run? He's like, that guy's pretty good. I'll take his offensive coordinator. And then he went out and got Tom Allen to be his DC. So it does feel like Dabo is kind of dipping the toe into new age football a little bit here. In addition to the fact that they're still recruiting very high, the retention on their roster is always going to be top notch. And that's why you're looking at a Clemson team that, in the eyes of a number of people, including me, have real national championship aspirations this year, because it's, you've got a veteran quarterback, you've got two coordinators that you would think are going to be pretty solid in Riley and Tom Allen, and you dabbled a little bit in the portal, most returning production in the country. So I do think Dabo's always pretty safe. I don't think you're going to get a disastrous year. You're not going to get a Mike Norvell year in Clemson. Fair?
Yeah, I
now I don't know if the peak is a national championship.
Yeah,
anymore,
that's
though.
But that's
my question to your question, right? Are we day trading, or are we trying to retire in 40 years? Because if I'm just saying stability and my thing's going to continue to grow daily,
The idea was to come up with a Vanguard. I quickly wound up with the hater fund.
Right. Because if I've got a Vanguard, I'm probably putting Dabo in there.
Because the other issue that
he's not leaving, and it seems stable.
Well, the other problem is defining, like, if it's just based on, if the stock price is the win-loss percentage versus how do you think someone's doing at a particular job, I think those are two different things. Like, if it really is just win-loss percentage, like, you got to have Kirby in there. Because as we mentioned earlier, or maybe it was last Friday, they've not lost a home game since 2019. We did not know what COVID-19 was the last time that they lost a home game.
Their down season was winning the SEC championship and going to the quarterfinal. Like, oh, what a down year for Georgia when they won the hardest conference in the country.
Correct. Or a year in which they went 12-0 and then lost the SEC championship game.
Right.
So, to a team that lost in overtime in a semifinal to the eventual national champion because they couldn't get a snap.
So, yeah, I think you have to put Kirby in there, and I think you probably need to put Dabo in there. The question to me is a guy like Ryan Day, right? Because Ryan Day is someone who has received a lot of criticism, and I would say some of it, rightfully so. And Ohio State fans, I kind of wanted to punch in the throat last year because, like, oh, I got fired, this guy. Got fired. Like, you've lost like 6 games in 6 years. And here's the thing about Ryan Day. Do I love him as a coach? Hell no. Is it going to be kind of weird this year without two elite coordinators? Potentially, right? You've got Hartline and, you know, the bearded genius Patricia. But they're always going to have elite talent. Always. They're always going to spend. They're always going to be top five in recruiting. They're always going to be able to get the big guys in the portal that they want. I mean, entering this year, pound for pound, I think they have the two best players in college football. Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith.
Okay, so you know what I think of Ryan Day as? I think of him as Bitcoin. And what I'm not saying crypto itself. I mean Bitcoin, because I think it's clear at this point Bitcoin is enough of a brand that the price is going to be fairly stable. With that being said, I still think we don't trust centralized banks, so we're making our own centralized bank and we're making our own money that's not really backed by anything. That's still never going to make a lot of sense to me. I don't trust it, therefore I'm keeping it out of the portfolio. It's kind of similar to, like, I don't really align with Mark Zuckerberg. I'm not putting Facebook in here.
All right. So I've talked enough. Who do you have in your portfolio? Because you already hate everybody.
Okay, so do you want my buys?
Sure.
My buys. I did not have the world's greatest feeling about this guy, but the last 2 years has changed my opinion. I want some Marcus Freeman in there.
Yeah, baby. I'm with you, man. I think his playoff run catapulted him into another level. And when you watch the games and how creative he is, how he's continued to be aggressive, and I'll say this about Marcus Freeman. He has continued to grow as a coach. He is willing to listen to people. And I think having Al Golden on his staff was enormous. And secondly, Notre Dame, they're in the world of spending big, and they've got highly paid coordinators. Their coaching staff is very highly compensated. Their roster is highly compensated. And this is something we talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago. No one's really left Notre Dame. Like, Notre Dame's running back room is thought of by most to probably be the second best in the country behind Penn State. But they've got like a third and fourth stringer that could be starting at P4s. And they stayed because they're compensated well. And I think the culture that Marcus Freeman has built has done him well. And I think early on, Jeffrey, he put so much energy into that Ohio State game in his first game of his career.
Yeah.
And what happened the next week?
They lost down to Marshall.
This past year, all this energy into A&M let down to Northern Illinois. I think he will start to overcome those letdowns, but one thing that Notre Dame fans appreciate is that he is able to get his team to rise up as opposed to Brian Kelly, who was always steady, but never could get them to go up a level and win that big game. And he's won more big games at Notre Dame than Brian Kelly did in his 10-plus year tenure.
Okay, so here's some of my other buys. This is also a job expectation. I think Jeff Brohm's a really good coach.
I agree.
I think his teams, more or less every single year, especially as the ACC gets worse and Louisville's still pretty committed to winning, I trust Brohm. Kind of along the same lines like Kiffin. I just like if it's based on the expectation of the school, I think he's always going to be above the school average. So I want Kiffin. Brett Bielema. I want Brett Bielema in there. This is actually kind of a... I think the guy's personality bothers people, and so I think the price is going to be pretty good. I think Eli Drinkwitz is actually a pretty good coach.
I'm not going to push back on that.
I think year in, year out, like when you look at it, like he's pretty good with quarterbacks that oftentimes are not exactly like big-name quarterbacks. They don't really go on to do very much, but he ends up figuring it out. He's pretty good at kind of scheming it up. He's recruiting at a pretty high level at a place that doesn't have a ton of recruiting chops. Like I know his personality bothers people, but I also welcome that because I think if you look under the hood, I think it's a really solid engine.
What about Kirk Ferentz?
So I don't think he.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.